So
but
then we're gonna go to Waitrose and we're gonna buy the fresh ginger shot.
The fresh? Do you have fresh? You have fresh ginger.
I've got a small bit of pomegranate we could shove in as well.
Okay. Pomegranate, I don't think.
But the ginger, definitely.
Welcome to Why Am I in Your Country? This is a series of interviews with refugees and asylum seekers who've chosen to make their life in the UK. My name is Charlotte Eager.
My name is William Sterling.
In this episode, we're going to be talking to Julia, a Ukrainian woman who we've known for a couple of years, who arrived as one of the participants in our workshop. Julia is a kind of Renaissance woman. She had a chain of award-winning pastry shops in Turkey, and she is a triathlon champion and a former Eurovision Song Contest contender finalist for Ukraine. And when I asked her if she knew how to make marmalade, she said to me,
my trainings in France, where I trained with like 3 Michelin star chefs and the world champion of pastry. I have got incredible inspiration from Julien Alvarez and Julien Boutonnier, Olivier Bajard, my first teacher.
So you were taught to make marmalade by a Michelin star chef?
Yeah, exactly.
But okay.
And at this point, I decided to let Julia take over making the marmalade and I would just basically do exactly what she told me to do. So the background behind this interview is that I went off to do a story for the Mail on Sunday about the World Marmalade Championships, which were set up by somebody called Jane Hazel McCosh in the Lake District about 20 years ago and now have thousands of entries from all over the world. And I wanted to interview Julia about her story and why she came to the UK. And I knew she was a very good cook, so I thought it would be nice to do it with her making marmalade. I didn't realise quite how superb she was going to be at it, which was added an unexpected bonus. I actually had a couple of Jane's recipes for marmalade, one which she'd emailed me and also one which she showed me how to make when I went and interviewed her in her house, Dalmain, just outside Penrith. But so Julia used them as a baseline for making marmalade, but like all great chefs, she kind of played around with the recipe herself and cook by instinct.
So what was the city of this marmalade championship?
It's a very beautiful house in the country. Look up the Marmalade World Championships. It's near Penrith.
Cumbria.
How much sugar have you brought?
I bought 1 kilo, but it all depends on how much oranges we have. We have now 1 kilo of oranges, which is enough for my sugar. So you see there are 3 lb of oranges. The lemon is only juice, but we can use the lemon with pills. It would give different taste. So if you want, we can use the juice. 6 pints of water, so there is a double sugar here to compare with the oranges. There are different kind of setup which you get as a result.
Different set.
Kind of set we want to get as a final marmalade. We want to have it as something we can have on the toast.
Yes, that's the classic one that you put on toast.
That's why having too much sugar maybe is not the best idea. It looks like a very safe, good recipe. Like everyone can do that.
Yeah,
because the more sugar you have, the safer it is.
Maybe not having too much sugar in there. I'd rather experiment.
Let me find my recipe from my old time when I was using it in my pastry shop.
At this point, I'm going to say that this is actually a taster for this episode because I haven't been very well. I've had COVID for a couple of weeks, and so I haven't managed to cut all this properly. So if you want to carry on listening to me and Julia making marmalade together and talking about her old life in Ukraine and Turkey and what finally made her leave Ukraine during the revolution and come here to the UK and try and build a new life, you're very welcome to carry on listening now, or you can come back in a week's time when there'll be more of it and it will be better. So many apologies. But I will put in a bit of Julia singing at the end of this episode because she does sing beautifully.
So where was your pastry shop?
My first pastry shop was in Istanbul in 2017. I opened it with my ex-husband. And it was a little laboratory, experimenting. I've been dreaming to become a pastry developer. That was the main idea why I started doing that business. I was more concentrated on developing new recipes and trying to find out why things work a certain way as my dream when I was the science of it and R&D, they say, research and development.
Just to make clear, Julia's didn't just have a little cake shop in Istanbul, she won stacks of awards.
Yeah, it was 2 pastry shops and little factory. So we were supplying on a daily basis half ton of different products. We had 15 chefs executing what was planned in the beginning. Developing the recipe was my favorite part of all of it. And the pastry shop was a little dream project where I experimented a lot, developing recipes of sandwiches and cakes, which would be loved by our customers. I've got like several different trainings before that because it was my hobby. I was traveling to France to learn the real techniques of pastry production.
So where did you train as a pastry chef?
It's another funny story. I was a housewife baking at home on weekends.
This is in Turkey?
No, that was in Ukraine. 2011.
And how old were you then?
21, because it was before my first son. And when I was pregnant, I was busy with trying to find some interesting hobbies. And I was a little bit disappointed that I can't work. And I was complaining a lot to my husband about it.
Why couldn't you work?
Because it was my last year in university and I had to make a choice. Either I would concentrate on building up the career or I would have to be a mother. And that's what we decided to do with my ex-husband.
And what did you study at university?
International relations and public law. I have master's in public international law. I had my 3-month internship in Ministry for Foreign Affairs in Ukraine as well, in international agreements department. So that's what I was actually educated for. But I started following my cooking passion directly after finishing university when I was at home. And I said, like, okay, I want to experiment and cook and bake. And I was doing it like in a very amateur level. I would do a lot of mistakes. And I think what was making the difference was that I was always trying to find sources of information, trying to read different recipes in English and French, even though I don't know really French well.
So you took your academic brain into,
Into
the cooking.
Absolutely.
So basically, so Julia married very young, having been educated to be one of the sort of people who ran Ukraine. Her father was a very distinguished businessman.
He was regionally a politician and a journalist. And he had his own TV show where he would meet with different controversial politicians and discuss the future of Ukraine. So I grew up in the quiet, full of politics. My father was very, very interesting person himself. He had a mass media holding, so a few channels and cinema and radio stations. My mom had a newspaper. So since my childhood, literally, I was surrounded by journalists, information, technologies, and plus I was singing.
So what were you singing? Didn't you get to the finals of to be represent Ukraine in Eurovision? Were you then?
I think, yeah, I was 15.
Julia has the most beautiful voice.
Thank you. I spent years of my life for singing, more than 10 years, and it was a very, very important part of my life. I stopped singing when I was in my university, and my parents always said, you can always come back for singing after you finish the university and get a proper degree.
You've never thought of getting back to singing as a career?
I think no. I think there was never a proper chance for me to consider it as a serious option because it's just difficult in those conditions which I am living for the last 10 years. Because I'm not being at home. It's very difficult just to go and be a singer in a restaurant and because I have another career which is feeding me better. And I think it wouldn't be smart to completely change my life just to sing. But I'm doing it happily whenever I have a chance. Since, you know, I was very much passionate about cooking. And after my trainings in France, where I trained with like 3 Michelin star chefs and the world champion of pastry.
Was
twice my teacher, yeah. I have got incredible inspiration from Julien Alvarez and Julien Boutonnier, Nicolas Boussin, Stéphane Leroux, Olivier Bajard, my first teacher.
So you were taught to make marmalade by a Michelin star chef?
Yeah, exactly.
But what okay.
It's like the main idea that, like, what I found out from them is that it's a mathematic in a way. Pastry is a science. There are 2 important things. One of them is the recipe, like numbers and quantities. And another one is the method, like because it's like operation of it.
All I'm going to do
is I just want to check the makeup of the citrus fruits. But Julia, I'm in your hands. You've been trained to make marmalade by the best, you know, Michelin star chef. So he actually taught you how to make marmalade as well as pastry.
Yeah, because marmalade is a part of pastry. Like the marmalade itself, though, it's a mess, right? It's a jelly mess, which can be this way or that way. But there is a general group called marmalade. Right. So the one that we're doing today looks more like a jam.
The classic British marmalade is a breakfast thing. Yeah. And have you had it?
I have even better. Like my pastry shop in Istanbul happened because I've made a marmalade with pears and anise and the cinnamon. And it was so amazing. I sold it to my neighbors. They loved it.
But this is
so yeah, I have this experience.
No. But this is slightly different because British marmalade has to have citrus fruit in it.
Yes.
So it's not just marmalade as jam, because marmalata is jam, for example, in Italian. Yeah. Julia is the most amazing cook, as you've obviously gathered. But one of the rules of this competition is that it has to have citrus fruit in it. It doesn't matter what kind of citrus fruit it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there are a lot of Japanese who enter it, and they have used, I think, something called azuzu. And you can do kumquats if you're Australian. Jane, who runs the competition, was telling me that there's a sort of legacy competition in Australia now. And the people who started it just used to go out into their garden and pluck fruit off the trees and then boil it. Obviously, it's going to be complete wonderful. You pay £10 to enter the British competition, but if you want to enter the Australian competition as well, then you add a £3 supplement, and it's called the Marmalashes, like the cricket.
I've been just checking the market, and I was trying to find the bergamot lemon, which would be an amazing different kind of citrus aroma to have in the marmalade. They didn't have it, unfortunately. But like, I think the bergamot would be really complimentary for the marmalade.
There's a spice shop literally 100 yards away. We can always go to the spice shop. But Julia, I'm just going to frankly let you get on with it. I'm looking for the pressure cooker. I don't have any of the equipment to make marmalade. You know, making marmalade is not part of my life. It was part of my life as a child, and my cousins all make marmalade, but I've never made it before. So I had to buy a lot of equipment. And one of the things I bought yesterday was a pressure cooker, which Jane, who is the wonderful founder of this fantastic championships, tells me is a brilliant way to cut down the amount of time and effort put into actually boiling the fruit in the first place. And the pressure cooker arrived from Amazon, and here it is. So now I've got to wash it.
Yeah.
In the sink. Julia will obviously know. I've never used a pressure cooker before.
Yeah, I've used it before. I know what to do.
Julia knows what she's doing. Let's wash it. I can't believe how lucky I am to have Julia here, really. And indeed, all of you lot, listening to this Michelin-trained marmalade maker make wonderful marmalade.
The recipe, right, is... it's important, but it's not as important as the method. You can take a very skillful chef, give him oranges, sugar, and water, 3 ingredients, right? And he's going to do something amazing. And you can use another chef who is less skilled, and he's going to use oranges, water, and sugar and make something not really good.
So, not really good.
So it's about the method. It's about the knowledge of how to...
Where do you think this goes?
I know where it goes. Okay. It goes inside of here.
It's a strange plastic hoop. So it's the method is everything. Right, so what you've got... You've got golden syrup, brilliant. We've got... honey.
Well, basically, there are 2 sugars which we could have used. Like one of them is a golden syrup.
We've got some pomegranate molasses.
It's not exactly, but okay. It can be an option. The main idea that the sugar, like there are certain kinds of sugar, and how I found what was really making me so interested in pastry is that I was trying to study the chemistry. And there are certain kinds of sugar that in French sciences, like in French pastry, I found out as well with my teachers. And not the kinds of sugar like we see, like custard sugar and powdered sugar.
It's the same
sugar.
Yeah.
It's like the same sugar, different sizes. But different kinds of sugar in terms of their chemical formula. So, for example, the custard sugar is like crystallized sugar, is one kind of sugar. And... golden syrup is another kind of sugar because it had, like, literally, as it was explained to us, there is another kind of transparent golden syrup which actually has the acid. When the bee is coming to the flower and getting the pollen, that's how the honey is happening, right? The pollen, by heat of the tongue of the bee, is changing the temperature. And so the sugar, which is coming to the honey, is inverted. So inverted sugars... they have a very nice ability to stop crystallization. That's why in most of the foods that you can find around, like ice cream,
ice cream can never be done without some kind of inverted sugar in it to stop the crystallization of the water.
An inverted sugar being something like...
So, yeah, this is a kind of...
I make ice cream without...
Yeah, well, it's...
But it probably crystallizes, actually.
If you want it creamy, and if you don't want it crystallized, or you want to keep it longer in your fridge,
you definitely
need to add something which will stop crystallization.
What if you like crystallization?
Then it's fine. You can do without. You can do with crystallization. As well as inverted sugar help you to keep moist in cakes.
If you
cook the brownie and you add any kind of inverted sugars...
Yeah.
It keeps this brownie not dry for like much longer time.
So that's very useful in professional cooking.
Yeah, it's like,
and
definitely why we have golden syrup at this table today is that we want to prevent crystallization of the marmalade after some time in a fridge. Right?
This is
the very common mistake of unskillful housewives. So to avoid that, people either add a little bit of treacle, which is kind of inverted sugar, but it's also burned, so it has another kind of a burny taste. I just didn't use it. First, I didn't find it. And second, I wanted to have that beautiful golden color in the result.
We're going to get with you because you're brilliant. Yeah. What you do? I'm just going to get the recipe, which I hope
I'm going to wash oranges meanwhile.
So some people apparently put their fruit through the Maggi mix, but we're not going to do that. Right. Herb scissors. So how many oranges are we putting in?
Seven oranges. Because of the size of the...
Can we put a grapefruit in as well?
Yeah, I just want to
wash. I've got a bit of lemon here.
Yeah, lemon definitely.
I want you to go with your Wednesday, but I would quite like to put grapefruit in because I quite like... And we've got this...
We can go with the recipe that you have because...
So the recipe that she gave me, the written down recipe, is not the thing that she showed me. The thing that she showed me had grapefruit in it and a bit of lemon. So would you normally... Put a whole lemon in.
Yeah, lemon is absolutely okay as much as we want.
Yeah.
What is important is the balance of the sugar.
And at which point do we put the ginger in, now or later?
I think we will put it now because we want to have it from the very... Really too much. I think like, I don't know grams-wise, but half of this piece that we have.
This is a whole sort of root of ginger that I bought from the market. I can put it through the Maggi mix if you like.
We can clean it with a spoon. Very easy. It's like... Something, when I found out how to do that, I said, like, oh my God, why didn't I know it before?
So I think that she had her oranges chopped up when she put them in there. I think they were cut in half. Would you boil them whole?
I think boiling is not going to be messy. We're going to do it like this, look. Oh, and you'll see how easy it is.
So I've been taught how to scoop with the side of a teaspoon the peel of the ginger, which it is, as Julia says, remarkably easy. There will be no excuse for me ever again to not bother to do this, but I can see myself never bothering to do it again. On the grounds, my mother always told me that to leave skin in things was good for you because it had roughage in it. So Julia actually left Ukraine 10 years ago.
9 years ago. It was after the revolution in 2015. The revolution was 14, but we moved completely. Like, we moved first on 2014, then we came back and... decided to relocate to Turkey, where my husband was from.
And when you left in 2014, I remember you just saying it was very, very dramatic and there was guns everywhere. And
well, it was a revolution, you know, like when people see it on the TV, they think it's like, oh, there is something happening. But it's when you have it happening 2 kilometers away from your house, and we were living on the 15th floor.
Yeah.
And I had a newborn baby. There was a big fire and 100 people died. The governmental police started killing people and there was a big fight and some civilians started getting the guns and, you know, they were driving car on the main road near our house. It was a bit scary and you see this fire and everyone around says, like, the war is going to start and you can't leave the country. So my husband got a little bit scared. As a foreigner... He said, like, we're going to go to Turkey because it seems like it's not going to be okay. And we literally packed all our house in one evening. We had, like, 20 hours, completely emptied the apartment with all the furniture and things. And we left with the plane, with the Turkish diplomatic team and others. Because it was, like, everyone was afraid that the war is going to start tomorrow. So you have no chance to leave the country as a man. That's what my husband was afraid of. And his office was in Kreshetik, which is the main street
of Kiev, and yeah, the building was burning. So it's like he was coming back to check if the documents are there and the businesses.
I used to live just off Krashatik. I lived in Karl Marx Street 30 years ago. I'm sure it's not called that anymore.
So this is what is bad about the history. I lived in Kiev many years of my life, and I don't know which street was Street of Karl Marx, because history changes so fast. So maybe in 30 years I'll be talking about my life to someone from Ukraine and they will say, wow, at that time the Crimea was Ukraine, at that time the east of Ukraine was Ukraine. They would be listening to me like I'm listening to you, but Karl Marx.
That's scary. Yeah. So Julia's just been washing the oranges with some wire wool. She's been scrubbing.
I don't want this dirt to end up boiling
in our syrup. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Seville oranges jammed into my new pressure cooker.
Yes, the lemon is coming to be the next one.
The lemon is coming to the next. I've peeled the ginger garlic. I'm not going to put garlic.
Yeah, we will turn it into the puree. Do you have a little grinder for spices? Microplane, they call it in the kitchen. You've got it, I can see it. Like,
where?
A kind of a cheese. This one is okay for it.
That?
Yeah, that one can be used because we want this smell and aroma. I absolutely love ginger with citruses. And in my pastry shop, one of the first things I was doing the marmalade like pâte frite in the French way, like jellified pieces. You put them into the sugar.
Yeah.
And then it's becoming like a soft candy, which is completely natural. So it's just sugar and fruits. Yeah. And I would do the orange with the ginger and a little bit of Grand Marnier.
Oh, wow.
Which is the amazing.
We've got some whiskey we could put in this.
No, the whiskey is not the best option, I think. I said cognac would be a better one.
We've got gin.
But cognac is losing its aroma when you cook it. So, like, Grand Marnier is not. But we already have oranges. So that's why I brought almond.
Almond is
an amazing pair for anything citrus.
And will it be good with the ginger as well?
We'll see. We'll see the smell, the actual smell of the mix.
Yeah,
because
anyway,
you add the almond in the end. And we're going to see how it smells. And it will, and try to intuitionally make this decision.
Yeah. That's how I cook.
If we want to add it or not. Yeah. Because like the ginger and citrus is a good option. But then it may require a little bit of spices. We'll go through your spices.
I've got star anise.
Yeah, so that's a perfect idea.
Perfect.
Star anise, yes, because it's very good with the... It's a bit cinnamon, maybe.
Yeah, I've got cinnamon.
If you have a stick, it would be the best, because like we can take it
out. No, I've just got the powder in for it.
Yes, we have to start from somewhere. And then we're going to decide what we do with the final touch. You know, what is the chef? Chef is someone who knows how to deal with even the final result, because sometimes you can have a very nice meal but you make a little addings and it's becoming amazing. We have it ready. We can try to boil it, but first we're going to cut these.
Okay.
Put it on the top.
I've done the ginger. What do we do that? Put it in?
We're going to put it, I think, a little bit later when we have a syrup. You've got very nice scissors. Four pills.
Yes, I've got very good scissors. So Jane, the amazing founder of this Marmalade Championship, she gave me the most brilliant tip, which was to use herb scissors to chop up the peel into what my family call marms, which are the bits in the marmalade. We've always called them marms. I don't know why. But I'm behind now, here are my herb scissors, and they are very, very exciting, and I can't wait to use them later in the process. I'm just watching Julia in awe. She's just chopped the lemon lengthways.
Yeah, so because we don't have enough space.
Long bits.
It's better to have everything same size because it's going to be evenly cooking.
Yeah.
But as we want to add some extra aroma.
Yeah.
So I think we'll put only the half of grapefruit, not the full. We have really limited space left. It's very important not to put too many things because the pressure cooker has its limit on water. There is a mux here.
Oh, yes, I see.
So you can't put more water than that.
So she's cramming the bits of grapefruit and lemon into some gaps between the oranges. Okay.
So now we cover it with water. We will put all the sugar, I think, that we have.
You put the sugar in now?
No, I just want to see how much we will need. That's
but we can measure how much water we're putting in there, can't we? So if I get a jug...
I think we put too much here, to be honest. Like, we need to take one of them out.
One of the oranges out.
Yeah. Because we want to make it nice. Yep.
Can we put a bit more lemon in that hole now or not,
do you
think?
Yeah, we can put here. Okay. Lemon is enough. It's enough.
Okay, we don't need any more grapefruit in that, do we? No.
No,
okay.
No, I don't think so.
Right, that's half a litre. So I think if I put in another half a litre, we'll probably be at the point. And that, so we have those two rubber things.
Yeah, the, one of them, like, they need to stick together to to make it work. So let's try to find out how it works.
There's an instruction booklet somewhere.
At this point, Julia and I wrestled with the pressure cooker and left the oranges and grapefruit and lemons to boil for about 25 minutes. I'm actually going to stop this episode here now because I haven't been very well. But as promised, here is a bit of Julia singing in our Trojans 2022 play, and she does sing beautifully.
А він мене не відпускав.